I was recently in a conversation with an older lady. We were talking about grandchildren, which is one of my favorite subjects these days. Excuse me, let me see if I can fix this thing a little better. Hopefully that'll help. Anyway, in the midst of this conversation, I was asking her about her grandparents. And this is a lady that's between 85 and 90 years of age. And she began to share that, well, I really don't remember a lot about my grandparents. I do remember one of my grandmothers. And what's interesting is what she remembered. She remembered, she said, as a little girl, when I would go to her house, some of the other grandchildren lived there with her because their parents lived there. And she always favored them. And she was always mean to me. And she would be real nice to them, but she was all the time getting on to me. And of course, I'm listening and I think, well, I mean, were there's a reason she's getting on to you or whatever, but I could tell that though it had been over 70 years, those words still had stingers in them. They still affected how she viewed herself. They still affected how she viewed her family. Last week, we looked at the power of words. There's death and life and so forth. We've been in a series now since the first Sunday in October entitled Framing Your Future with Your Mouth. And we've spent a lot of time in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. And we've learned that we've been created in God's image. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit. And what we're trying to do is to understand how God did things when He created the world. Realized that He made us in His image. And out of those principles we found in how He created the world, can we learn to walk in a more full measure the dominion that He gave us? He told us to subdue the earth, to have dominion over every creature He had created, and to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. So we've been diving in, drilling down, and learning some of these first order principles, and hopefully discovering a little bit more about who we really are. And so we're going to dive back into that this morning, and I would just ask, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to You, and that every heart in the room would be open to receive from Your Word what You have for us. Amen? Amen. So, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 27. This is where God created man, the first man. We're given more details in Genesis 2:7, but here in verse 27, Genesis 1, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. That needs to be read and studied in today's culture, doesn't it? Male and female. That's God's plan, idea, and the biology around the face of the earth still testifies that that's the way things are. All right, verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, notice that His blessing was something He spoke. We need to learn to speak blessings over ourselves, over our children, over our employers, over our friends, over our city, over our nation. You and I have been given the power to bless. How do I know that? Matthew chapter 5. If Jesus taught us that we are to bless those that curse us, not only did He teach us that, He commands us to do that. Well, would He command you to do something that you didn't have the ability to do? You have been given the capacity and power to bless people. That's also part of God's image in our life. We see it right here. God created the man. He blessed them and said to them. What follows is the blessing over what He's about to tell them they're going to do. Then God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." God will bless you to be fruitful and multiply. "Fill the earth and subdue it." There's that dominion. "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." All right. There's a lot in this. Hold on to that. I want to jump to another scripture. Then we're going to come back and I want to talk a few minutes about design, desire, and destiny. We're going to build our thoughts around those three words this morning. And we want to pull these truths out of the scriptures I'm sharing with you right now. Jump to the New Testament. I shared this verse and talked to you about power, partakers, and promises. But today we're going to dive a little deeper in it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes and says, "As His divine power," that's God, "His divine power," so this is supernatural power, has given to us all things," say "all things," "that pertain to life and godliness." Now notice that. You have been given supernaturally through the power of God's supernatural power. You have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now notice it says He's already given that to us. That means you're not looking for it. That means you're not waiting on it. You may not be using it, but you've already got it. Say, "I've got what God says I've got." And this scripture says that you've already been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Now notice that. There's something that you need to know in order to unleash what you already have. You've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. He didn't say, "I'm going to give you all things that pertain to life." He said, "I've given you all things." Not just part of what you're going to need to live a godly life. All of it. "I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness to live a godly life." How? "Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." Our knowledge and understanding of Him unleashes to us the knowledge of what we have. How do I know that? Keep reading. "Who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises." Say His promises. All right. We're putting this together now. You've already been given all things through the knowledge of Him. There's some things you need to know about Him. How do you know those things about Him? Through the promises that He has given you. Through His Word. Exceedingly great and precious promises. This is potent, high-powered information. All right? That through these, He tells us, it's through these promises that you may be partakers of your human nature. Thank you for correcting me. That's not what it says, is it? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This last part's telling us the world's out there with all its lust, all its stuff, all its knowledge, all its info, all its deceit, all its energy. There's power. The world's releasing. It's stirred up and it releases an influence on us. It seduces us to love it. That's the reason the Scripture says, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world." What do you need to love? All things that you've been given that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who's called you by glory or virtue, or in glory and virtue, because He's glorious and virtuous. by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. We've already read in Genesis 1, God made you in His image. In the image of God, He made you. At the very least, that means there's something about you that's like Him. Sometimes you see somebody has a baby and you look at the baby and you don't see him, the baby, you see them, the daddy, right? Children reflect our image. That's even true in the natural. But God Himself testifies to the fact that you are made to be like Him, not to be God. That was the first seduction, wasn't it? Oh, you'll become as God. But you'll be like Him. All right? You bear His image in the earth. So, let's talk about design for a moment. Design. There is a very true sense in which you are a living testimony that God exists. Because God Himself says, I made humanity in My image. That tells us, that when we're living life the way God created us to live our lives, we become living testimony that He exists. You know, there's a lot of scriptures that basically say the same thing from a different angle. For instance, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When you're living by faith, you're manifesting that you believe God exists and you trust Him. And the Bible says, and He will reward you for doing that. You become a living testimony of not only a God that's alive, but a God who's good, a God who is love. His design is such that you're evidence that He exist. Now, up here on the stage, look at these guitars. I would play you a tune, but I don't want the wrong kind of anointing to get stirred up. You know, when you look at this, there's a lot of information that's passed to you just by seeing that guitar. Of course, you can hear it, but just by looking at it, do you think that thing just happened to be? Somebody had to make that guitar, didn't they? Somebody had intelligence and was able to form, fashion, craft, design, and build that guitar. They took some wood. One Sunday I talked to you about the principle of innovation. You know, God took dust He had previously created, formed and fashioned that, and made a man. That's innovation. And He does that through you. He did that through that guitar. Somebody took something that was a tree and used part of that tree to turn it into a guitar. They took iron ore metal and got some steel. They even had to have the intelligence to do some electronic circuitry to create those pickups. They had to have an understanding of acoustics and sound engineering and all of that. And so that guitar evidences an intelligence and a designer and a builder. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament displays His handiwork. That creation testifies that God exists. And this God who exists and created all things testifies, I made you like me. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not saying you are God. I am saying that God says you are made in His image. And I am saying that God's Word says that through your faith in Christ, you are His sons and daughters in the earth representing Him. That through your faith in Christ, you are part of His forever family. You've been adopted in. He has accepted you. And even any here this morning that are not believers, you are here because of the creative activity of God. God designed the first man. God designed the first woman, brought them together, and commanded them to have babies. And here you are. Somebody obeyed the Lord. Right? That's the way God engineered it. God designed it. And we've been learning that in those first two chapters of Genesis, God said it's very good. Last week we saw Adam and Eve lived in a place of paradise. It was perfect. They had no competing ideologies or philosophies or thoughts that even rambled around in their mind. That didn't happen until they chose to willfully violate God's boundaries and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then chaos and the curse was unleashed on the earth. Originally, the earth was created in perfection. There was no death. Some people believe a civilization existed before Adam and Eve. Well, where did they go? If they died, then you have death before sin. And the Bible is very clear that the wages of sin is death. And the only hope for that is the redemption through Jesus Christ. God said it's very good. So there was nothing of the curse that tainted what He had created. But as we mentioned briefly last week, or I mentioned briefly that last week, the serpent was in the garden. The Satan worked through the serpent. God allowed Satan entrance into the garden. And you can ask him about that when you get there. But I think it also is part of God's design that allows for freedom of speech, freedom of choice. And again, and for there to be total freedom, you have to have the freedom to choose not to be who God wants you to be. So your choices are based on who you know God to be and your desire to worship Him and obey Him. Enough of that. Come back to design. Because today I really want you to really let this absorb and soak in that you were God's idea. God designed your life and made you in His likeness. Yes, because of the sin, we have to deal with corrupt thoughts. We have to deal with a nature that chooses that has chosen against God. The Bible says in Romans 8 that our flesh is in enmity against God. Your flesh is not on God's side. And we'll see before this message is over, the difference it makes to be in the last Adam versus in the first Adam. So important. Okay? God designed you. And it's just such a beautiful, beautiful truth. Listen to this scripture, Ephesians 3:19. This is a prayer Paul prayed. I'm going to drop into the middle of his prayer. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Isn't that something? That you can have God's love in such fullness in your life that it moves you beyond where knowledge could ever take you. It surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I believe this is an apostolic prayer that Paul prays. Thank you, son. it's a God prayer. He prayed that we be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, we've already been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? But we also are to pray that we be filled with all the fullness of God. I believe it's our understanding of these all things that help us understand more of who He is, who we are in Him, through being partakers of the divine nature, that allows us to experience more of His fullness. Another thing this tells us, if Paul prayed that we be filled with all the fullness of God, then that means that we must not be full. There's more. We shouldn't settle like, I've arrived. I know all I need to know. No, the prayer, Lord, may I be filled with all the fullness of God, means, Lord, you know, it's that fill my cup, Lord, till it overflows, that kind of thing. Now, I think we do have times the Holy Spirit comes upon us and starts pouring out. And Pastor Doc and I were talking about this several days ago, about some different God encounters that we've had, that how sometimes there's moments that come when the world's a lot, everything just seems to be perfectly aligned in your life, and there's such joy, there's such peace, there's such a sense of fullness, right? And I mean, we call those mountaintops, we call those God encounters, and it's just awesome. But to stay at that place and stay with that level of fullness, there's such warfare over that. So we need to be praying that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. That's God's design. Now, I've shared with you that God loves to fill things up. I call it the empty and filling principle. We see it in Genesis 1. The cosmos was empty, so He filled it up with planets and stars and galaxies and universes, probably plural. All right? The seas were empty. He filled them with fish. And if you've ever done a little scuba diving, my, at the variety that's under the surface of the water. The world that exists unseen under the surface of the ocean. It's amazing. God filled the ocean with fish. The skies were empty. God filled the sky with birds. The ground was empty. He filled it with plants and herbs. And then He formed a man out of the dust of the ground, and man was empty. What'd God do? God filled that man with Himself. Years ago, I awakened in the morning. I was working on my book called Breath of God. And the Lord said, find the first occurrence of the Hebrew word for Father. Well, I found it. And it is in the book of Genesis. And the Hebrew word was Ab. And as I prayed, I thought, well, Lord, I don't understand. Now, this is, I'm sharing this out of an experience I had, and I'm deducing what God said to me and what it led to. And it is speculation, but I believe it to be true. And I began to think of that because I'm working on Adam's first moment, Adam's first breath. I call it the first breath. When God breathed into him. Do you know the word inspire? To breathe in. Expire, breathe out. Like when somebody dies, they put down the date they expired. They breathe their last breath. But inspiration, you know, breathing is really inspiring and expiring. Breathing in, breathing out. Receiving and giving, which is the God order. Because God first breathed into Adam. And when He did, Adam came alive. Have you seen those movies? Some of you that are EMTs, I know Chuck's one. I don't know if Chuck's here today. He's probably seen this a lot of times. Where you put those paddles on people, defibrillator, you know. And in the movies, it looks like this. Right? They take in a breath, a deep breath. Matter of fact, I want you to do something with me. Open your mouth. And I want you to make a sound when you do this. Take in a deep breath. Close your mouth. One more time. That's the Hebrew word for Father. Get this picture out of Genesis 2:7. God forms dust into the shape of a man. And what does the Bible say? God breathed into Adam's what? Nostrils. The breath of life. Can you see that picture? God, like, breathing, put over his nostrils. His spirit, his breath. In Adam. Adam goes, what's he saying? Father. I'm saying the first sound that ever came out of the first set of human lungs ever brought into existence was the Hebrew word for Father. Ab. Why? God's creating him a man, and he's going to have a father-son relationship with him. Luke records in the genealogy of Luke, starts with Jesus, goes all the way back through the Old Testament, through Abraham, to Adam. It says, Adam, the son of God. Not the only begotten son of God, the second person of the Godhead who became a man, but the first man made of dust that was filled with the Spirit of God and placed to govern this earth that God had created. That's the first Adam who fell. Okay? Now, if you want to put some New Testament covenant theology on it, you breathe in and breathe out. Abba. There you go. And when the Holy Spirit comes to live within you and you begin to experience this life of interchange, the giving and receiving from God, you receive from God and you give out to others. You receive from God, you're filled, you overflow and give out to others. You are manifesting Abba, which means Papa, Daddy, Father. By design, I believe the Scripture teaches us God designed you to relate to Him as a child to a father. That kind of union, that kind of fellowship. Think of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the eternal God Elohim. Let us, I believe it's a term of plural majesty, God manifesting as He's described Himself to us in Scripture. And the fact that now He, out of the unseen world, the realm of the Spirit, God is Spirit. I'm still talking about to you about who God created you to be. I'm talking about how God designed you to live and function. God is Spirit. You were created a Spirit being. Actually, the Spirit being was brought alive in a container made out of dust. And those particles became animated, came together, formed human flesh, and Adam stood up as a man full of the Spirit of God to walk the earth in a union with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where there was no static electricity or interference or competing thoughts or fleshly inclination or lustful thoughts. None of that originally. And I believe when Paul says that we're to pray to be filled with the fullness of God, He's wanting us to take steps to get back more and more like that, because who the first Adam was created to be but fell, he was the first man of the earth earthly, but the second man, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, is the Lord from heaven. He is called the second man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam fell into sin, and through the first Adam, sin was passed on to all men, including you and me. But through the last Adam, who is a life-giving Spirit, we have been redeemed. Now, we still have the body. Listen, we still have the material body that was possessed by the first Adam. But you've got a new engine inside of you. You are a spirit being, and you have now, once again, as a human being, through the blood of Christ and your faith in Him, you have been made alive unto God. And the reason that happens is before you were made alive unto God, you were alive to something other than God. You were governed by the biological world, the physiological world, the hormonal world, the sinful world. You were living a life where everything was energized by sin, by the curse, or even the demonic. But when you heard the gospel message that communicated to you that God loved you and that God gave His only Son for you, His only begotten Son, who Paul calls the last Adam. When He gave His only Son for you, He did that so that His Son would take your sins upon Himself and die as you bearing your sin, and then conquer death and be raised from the dead by His Father, and now imputes to you His righteousness, you are made alive to God through faith in Him. Now you are once again reconciled with God and able to relate to God through the Spirit. Before you knew that, you may have thought about God. You may have, what we call, ciphered to God, tried to figure Him out. But when you got saved, you became a part of God's intimate family. You became a child of God. In John 1, verse 12 says, as many as received Him, that means to open up your life, your heart, your spirit, and ask Christ to invite Him, surrender to Him, to bring His life into your life as you turn from sin toward Him. You were made alive to God. And the Bible says in John 1:12, He gives you the authority to become a child of God. So if before you became a child of God, you were not a child of God. You see what I'm saying? Before that, you were not a child of God. You had to become one. You might have been God's child by creation. In other words, yeah, you're here because He made Adam, and Adam's made kids, or made kids, or made kids, and finally you were made. And that's a creative activity of God. And God chose for you to have life and put a spirit in the body that was formed in your mother's womb. That's God's blessing on you to live. But that's different than being made spiritual alive, where His Spirit now comes and dwells in your body. And one day, your body, the outer man, perishes. But the Spirit's eternal. You hold these truths we're talking about today in an earthen vessel. But you're going to get a new body that will never be touched by death, hell, the grave, sin, the curse, anything like that. That new body will be fitted for eternity. Because Adam was originally created to live forever. He could eat from the tree of life. He was banished after he sinned, lest he do that. And as I shared with you last week, that meant he would have continued to live in a body that had already decided it was going away from God. So God put a time stamp on how long that body would last in this earth. God's design. You need to accept that God is intricately involved in you being here. You have in life. You have purpose. We'll be talking about destiny for a few moments. In a few moments. But design. You were God's idea. You matter. You're valuable to Him. Now, Jake, you may have to help me back there. My clicker's not working for some reason. Put it on that next scripture. I want you to look at something here. We're going to talk next about desire. You see the end of this verse? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And we talked about the first Adam who sinned and now sin's passed on. And we have to acknowledge that without God's grace, without God's Spirit, without the promises of His Word, we can't live having power over sin. Somebody else had to give us power for that. We were weak. And Peter says that through being a partaker of the divine nature, that's our escape from the corruption that's in the world through lust. That word lust talks about a strong desire. Epithume, it means a strong desire. And here, the context is, it's a worldly lust, an ungodly lust. He's already said, God's given you what you need to live a godly life, everything. But he ends down here saying, that's what helps you escape the ungodly way the world wants you to live. To overcome the ungodly desires of the world, which is lust. Like wanting someone else's wife instead of your own. Wanting someone else's land rather than your own. Wanting what somebody, you know, wrong and strong desires. That kind of lust. We escape that through understanding how to appropriate the power in God's promises. Understanding that we're a partaker of the divine nature. That we're not having to face what the world throws at us. What the flesh wants to rise up within us. And what demons may bring against us. We're not helpless because we are partakers of a divine nature by understanding the Word and using the Word. We can go to war against the world, against the flesh, and against the devil and have victory. Now, have you thought about the temptation of Jesus in the framework of Him being the last Adam? Last week, we looked at what happened to the first Adam when Satan came and they were tempted. They sold the farm, literally, to the devil. But when the last Adam came and his father said, "I love you, I'm proud of you," and the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, this is not new territory for most of you. But what did he do with each of those three temptations? I won't go through them. But he did one singular thing in face of every temptation the devil brought before him. He said, "It is written." He used what God said to keep him where he needed to be. To keep him in alignment, he chose to address the devil with what God had already said. Are you listening? Keep listening. We have already talked about what 2 Peter 1 says you have already been given. And how what you've already been given comes about through knowledge of Him and His promises that you may be partakers of the divine nature. In moments of temptation, it is imperative that we remember the last Adam, Jesus. And he was perfect, wasn't he? The first Adam was perfect when God created him before Genesis 3. Jesus was perfect. And the devil came. He stood his ground and simply said what God had said. "No, I'm not going to turn these stones into bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word that comes out of the mouth of God." Every rhema word. Rhema. The now word for the present moment, for the present circumstance. Rhema. You remember our scripture last month for this whole series? By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the rhema of God. Jesus said the way we live is by every rhema that comes out of the mouth of God. So you need a knowledge of the promises. You need to know what those promises tell you have, that you have already been given. You don't have to beg or whine to God for Him to honor His Word. He honors His Word because it's His Word. It's His Word. He watches over it to perform it. And it will accomplish and it will prosper. We've already studied in Isaiah 55. So, the way He dealt with ungodly stuff coming at Him from the world and the devil and His flesh was perfect like Adam. He stayed in that place of perfection by using the Word. He did what He did as a man full of the Spirit of God so that we can live the way God created us to live as men and women full of the Spirit of God, utilizing the Word of God. Desire. Now, it's really important for you to understand the first Adam and last Adam contrast. Because New Testament, say New Testament. This is our new covenant. You see, we have a different covenant than everyone from the beginning of the world till Jesus came. We have a covenant different than what they were under. I don't want to go back under that old one. No flesh was ever justified by works of law. Nobody was transformed in the manner that we are under the new covenant. We are made as new creations. We have a new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 says, we have a new covenant based on better promises. These are new promises. We've been given all things pertaining to God through what? Through His exceedingly great and precious promises. So we've been given a new covenant based on new promises, which God says are better. Why? Because what Jesus provides for us is better than what Adam ever passed on to us. God looks at what Jesus did. Listen. He looks at the last Adam and He sees us. The Bible says, believer, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Notice, God, Christ, you. You, your life that's been given you through the new birth is rooted and seated in Jesus Christ. You have been made to be seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Paul said it this way, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, when Christ died, I died. Paul saw it that way. That the moment he got saved, that Christ's death was his death. And the moment he got saved, the life Jesus had when he was raised from the dead, that resurrection life, that's now his life. He said, I was crucified with Christ, and the life which I now live in the flesh, that is in this human container, the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What Jesus did on the cross in faithful obedience to His Father, you get the benefit of that. All the riches of glory that have been provided through His mediatorial and redemptive work belongs to you by faith. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Listen to this scripture in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, how the world operates, and not according to Christ. What's the benchmark? Christ. He goes on to say, verse 9, this is the good part. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, Jesus, you are a partaker of the divine nature because Jesus, God dwelled in Him in full bodily form. The fullness of God was in Jesus. Well, you're now in Jesus. You're partaking of His divine nature. You see that? You are in Him, He is in you. You're blessed and benefited and beautiful based on what He procured. He is the last Adam now, has restored, reconciled you to God and restored you to God's original place. To walk the earth as His sons and daughters. Full of Him, His Spirit. Manifesting God to the world. Reflecting God. You're not God, you're reflecting God. You're a reflection of Him. You're bearing His image in the earth. And so, this is so powerful. That means, when we're properly aligned, when we understand our design and we understand how we get in alignment with design and begin to live the Christ life, our desires are all turned toward Him, His purpose, His plans. That's when favor and blessing really starts flowing in our life. And that leads us to the last thing, and there's so much more, but it's to destiny. Our destiny. Because we see that our destiny, we're created in God's image, placed on the earth to rule in union with Him over what's been created. And when it's everything's said and done, there'll be a new heaven, new earth, there'll be a new paradise. We'll be there with God, and we'll carry out His activity, wherever that may be, whatever that may be. It's going to be very life-giving, very fulfilling, very significant, very meaningful. Sum it up. Understand, you're God's idea. He made you. Understand what's already been given that you can access and appropriate by faith. It's already yours. What a difference that'll make you in your life, your children, your children's children, your generational family line, make all the difference in the world to live with the fullness of God. Who can? If God be for you, who can stand against you? You know, the Bible says there in Colossians, it goes on to say in verse 10, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. That word completion, teleon, also could be translated perfect. You're holy because He's holy. You're powerful because His Spirit that raised Him from the dead dwells in you. And you're perfect in the sense that you are complete in Him. You got everything you need in your position in Christ to live a godly life. So we just need to aim at fullness. Lord, fill me up. Emptying ourselves before Him. Lord, I want more of You. Staying hungry and thirsty. Pressing in. Realizing there's always more. How many of you have heard Dr. Stephen List? He's been here several times or been at Grace House, not at our new location. He's what we call one of our apostolic advisors. I talk to him often. He calls me fairly often. He's like a father, a spiritual father in my life, and that I can just talk to about anything. And he's such a wise man. He's in his close to mid-80s now. He's been like 170 nations, I think it is, around the world. He's just such a precious man. I've had the privilege to minister by his side in different nations, and he's just such a blessing. When he came, he told us a story. Let me start in about, it was 1993. He was in a meeting, and there was a man there by the name of Bob Jones. You ever heard of the man who people refer to as Prophet Bob Jones? Heard some crazy Bob Jones stories. But it's amazing some of the things God did through his life. And if you ever saw Bob, he usually had jogging pants on, the t-shirt. He talked like this right here. That's just kind of how when he'd talk. And he was a country guy, but God's hand was so strong on his life. He was in a meeting, Dr. List was, and Bob Jones was there, and Bob Jones prophesied over him. And I want to share the scripture Bob Jones shared with him. Bob basically said, well, the Lord said He's going to use you, and what He's going to do is Isaiah 55, verses 4 and 5. And here's what that scripture says. Indeed, I have given Him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. And that was the word. 7 years. After he received that word, nothing's happening. You know, I wonder what that word meant. I wonder what that's going to look like. On a rainy September evening, it was one night, he was sitting in the living room. He and his wife, it's pouring down rain outside. He heard a knock on the door. He goes to the door, opens it up, and there's three huge, dark-skinned Fijians from the island of Fiji. Like a Samoan type guys. Big, you know. And they're standing there. He opens the door and they said, are you Dr. Stephen List? Yes, I am. We got to talk to you. Dr. List didn't know them. A little bit intimidating, he said. And he thought, well, okay, come on in. So he lets them in the house. And then they tell him, we're from the island of Fiji. Well, how did you know about me? He said, well, we're pastors, each of us, but we live in different places on the island. And we had not talked to one another, but each of us, as we were praying, God spoke to us and gave us the same name. Gave us your name. He said, well, how do you know how to find me? Well, the Lord told us where you lived. He said, how did you know what house? I live here in the edge of Seattle, Washington. The Lord gave us your address. Now, they've got His attention. This is either some kind of scam or... But He said His Spirit just... Within 24 hours, He had already bought tickets and booked a flight to go to Fiji. What happened next is history. And it's even on some of the transformation videos that some of you may have seen. That island had become corrupt. There had been coup attempts in the government. The economics were poor. And things were going the wrong way. When Dr. List gets there, God starts opening doors. The next thing he knows, he's ministering to the president of the nation. The next thing you know, they're bringing the city together in the capital city in the streets. They've got a platform. And it is announced that this man is going to share an address with the nation that God has something the nation needs to hear. He gets up, preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, brings a heavy-duty message for the nation and how they needed to repent, what they needed to do. And awakening started happening. People started repenting, getting saved, getting baptized. The churches started growing. And he shared things like there were rivers that had been polluted. Just completely polluted. That in a very short time, those rivers had pure water flowing in them again. He said that fishermen started catching fish that had not been caught in over 50 years. They had left the area, left the waters. They returned to the river. He said like bananas that would grow to be 4 inches long, they were now growing to be very large. The land, the people, the culture just began to be transformed because there was a man who had received a word spoken by God, opened his heart to receive whatever it was. There were some pastors who were tuning in so much they could get names, addresses, and directives from the Holy Spirit. God brought those three pastors together. They had the faith to leave Fiji, fly to the state of Washington, and show up unannounced at a door because God gave them a street address. And they found the man that God said would be there. And they had his name. That's what happens when people come alive to God. That's what happens when people believe God still talks today. That He can speak to you through His Word. He can give you a directive for your life. Because when you see God putting His hand on a man and God beginning to move upon a culture, upon a people, you begin to see supernatural activity and movement of the Holy Spirit and signs, wonders, and miracles and those kind of things. And this, I believe, and I decree and declare this morning, we're on the precipice of a season. We're going to see more and more supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see signs, wonders, miracles, healing. We're going to see incredible financial breakthrough and provision. You are going to see God stretch forth His hand in signs, wonders, and miracles. You're going to see God do things that will confound you, if not dumbfound you. I believe that with all my heart, that God is in this season. He is trying to align us. He wants us to know who He has made us to be, who He's created us to be. He wants us to know who we really are in Christ. He wants us to know that all the promises He's given us, that He stands behind those, that we can partner with Him, that we can manifest the new creation, the divine nature that we carry, and a difference can be made in this world. It can change your family. It can change your health status. It can change your financial status. It can change your job status. He can, if you're tired of being the tail and ready to be the head, dive in the Word and find out who you are. If you're tired of being below and you're ready to be above, get in the Word and find out who you are and begin to radically obey God. If God be for you, who can be against you? I want you to stand with me this morning. And the way I want to conclude today, and we will have a time for anyone who needs prayer, But this is to be corporate right now. I want to lead you in a prayer that it's just kind of come together, and I found myself praying this and declaring this a lot. And I believe it would be beneficial for us all to begin to do this. It is a prayer. It's a declaration. It's really like a declarative prayer. You are prophesying and proclaiming this is what the desires of your heart are. You're aligning them with God. You are decreeing and declaring your design through this, and this will help you to move into the fullness of your destiny. It's a simple prayer. All right? I'm going to lead it, and then I'll just have you pray along with me. You can repeat after me. But do it to the Lord. You're not praying to me. Pray it to the Lord and declare it over your own life as well. All right? You say, Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare I will hear what You want me to hear. I will see what You want me to see. I will know and understand what You want me to know and understand. I will say what You want me to say. I will go where You want me to go. And I will do what You want me to do. In Jesus' name. That's based on John chapter 5. Some other scriptures. Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. We've got to learn to disconnect from our own ideas and align with what God says. It worked for Jesus, the last Adam. We now are in Him. And so it will work the same way with us. We don't have to come up with some new design or new idea. It worked for Jesus. We don't have to change that. We best not. Right? This, in a simple way of seeing it, this is how we live our lives. I've been praying that. And I have been seeing breakthrough. I can't share all of it with you. But the Lord is helping me to hear in a way I haven't heard previously. In degree. And to see. To know and understand. And I just believe that's a token, a portent, a forerun of what's going to grow. It's going to affect all of our lives. And so, Father, I thank You for the written Word. I thank You for rhema words that come out of the written Word by Your Spirit. Thank You for prophetic words. May we be governed and guided by You, O Lord. Thank You for this time we've had to get together and worship and sing praises to You. Thank You for this time we've had just to receive from Your Word. And Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over this altar area, this time of ministry for those who may come forward. I pray the anointing be upon our altar workers who are scheduled to be in the altar today to come forward. You just come forward right now. May His anointing to minister be upon you. I just bless you in the name of Jesus to minister today. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll hear what you need to hear, see what you need to see, know what you need to know, and do what you need to do. Now, as others of you leave today to go forth, may you know more of the fullness of God. May you live the life God has designed for you. May you desire the things He has for you. And may you see your destiny unfold before you with a fruitful life in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, let's give the Lord a hand. This altar area is open. If you need prayer, feel free to come forward and receive ministry. They'll have some music going. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Have a happy Thanksgiving.